Blog Talk Radio. There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to the 17th episode of Step Into the Light on this first Tuesday in 2016, January 5th. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we talk about the shadows that creep across the path of our lives at one time or another in the form of such difficult circumstances as abuse, divorce, addiction, fear, debt, heartbreak, guilt, loss of a loved one, rejection. Conversely, my guests shed light on those dark times with messages of hope, healing, success, perseverance, faith, and love. In case we have listeners who have tuned into the show this morning and are unable to listen for the entire hour, I would like to let you know where you can find us again. I have a website entitled pattysheen.com. I'll spell that for you. It's P-A-T-T-I-S-H-E-N-E. You'll find a link to this show on the very first page. I also have a Blog Talk Radio tab, which has various pages underneath it. And should you try to access the show after this week, you will find this link on the archive page. It's pretty easy to navigate, I think. I also have a Step Into the Light Facebook page. I would love to have you come over and like me over there, and I make it a point to put the URL up for Tuesday's show on hopefully Monday afternoon. Sometimes it doesn't get up there until Monday night, but it's always going to be there by early Tuesday morning. I also have a Twitter account, which is at Patty Sheen, and I have a Pinterest board with my Step Into the Light guests on there with under the same name. Well, for those of you who have listened to the show previous today, you'll notice I've changed things up a bit, and I think that's one of the things that we like to do in the new year. I've added a commercial break with a couple of actual commercials that we'll do at about 8:25, and I want to apologize that the quality, the sound isn't all that good on those commercials, but hey, I'm learning, and I'm excited to learn new things this year as I've learned new things about the show and about broadcasting last year. I wonder what all of you have in store for 2016. I know that one of the things I would like to do, and I've said this every single year for many years now, is do more writing. I love doing the show, but I also have a passion for writing, and I don't realize how strong that passion is until I actually sit down and write. A couple of the monsters that I'm always battling are procrastination and disorganization, I think. But when I am placed in a situation where I really need to get something written, I had to do a small presentation at our church on the 27th of December, so I sat down and wrote a poem about, is Christmas really over, for that. And it was just such fun to sit down and create. And I'm also a part of a blogging community called Putting On the New, and I am responsible the 8th of every month to provide a blog for them. And that's fun because, once again, it forces me to a deadline. And I'd encourage my listeners to go check out that blog, not because I'm on there necessarily, but because there are some very fine writers on there who offer words of inspiration and share personal experiences, and it's a very interesting blog to check out. So I would encourage you to do that this year. One of the other things I want to do this year is remember the little things that happen every day that are special. And this morning is a case in point. When I get up and start getting ready for the show, even though this is, what did I say, my 17th show, there's a little bit of butterflies in the stomach and hoping that everything goes well with the technology and this and that and the other. And this morning as I was preparing to get ready for the show, I started getting some Twitter text message things, and several of them were from my guest who was promoting the show this morning, and I want to thank Kathy for that. But then I took a look over, and here was a text from my granddaughter. She's 14. Well, if any of you know anything about 14-year-olds, usually at 7 o'clock in the morning, their thing is making themselves look absolutely perfect for their friends at school. They just don't have a lot of time for grandma at that time of the day. So I was pretty shocked, and my first thought was, oh, gee, she's going to ask me for a ride to school, and can I fit that in before doing the show? Well, when I finally read the text, she was thanking me for a Christmas gift, and the Christmas gift was some long socks. And I thought, oh, wow. So I wrote back and told her I was glad she enjoyed them. But I said I couldn't take credit for those socks because actually her pappy had picked them out for her. So she wrote back and she said how much she appreciated them because she was wearing her long boots today and those socks were nice and warm for her. So anyway, that was just kind of a cool little exchange that made my morning. And it's moments like that that I'm going to start journaling and writing down and taking to heart and just keep them locked in a special place. And I encourage all of you to do the same thing. Well, I've rattled on enough. It's time to introduce our guest for this morning. Catherine, or Miss Kathy Roth, lives in New Jersey, where she delights children of all ages with her skill as a dynamic storyteller, sharing intriguing tales that inspire a love of God. Miss Kathy advocates for literacy and Christian living principles to audiences in schools, churches, women's groups, and at community events. She is an author of enchanting children's books that convey valuable life lessons to children of all ages. Founder of Pageant Wagon Publishing, Kathy is trained in principal approach education and has taught in Christian and homeschool settings. She has also served her church in various leadership roles over the past 3 decades. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Well, thank you for having me, Patty. It is absolutely delightful to be here.
Oh, it's going to be a great interview and a lot of fun because I've checked out your websites and you're just a delightful lady. I met you back in Philadelphia and we haven't communicated much since, but I've gotten to know you better through the website.
Yeah, the Greater Philadelphia Christian Writers Conference. A life-changing experience going to a writers conference.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. God really, he just makes these divine appointments and brings people together that are going to speak into your life and help you move to the next place that God's calling you to. Because you know how easy it is to get stuck. And we don't want to get stuck in hopes and dreams. We need to get out the gate, you know.
Exactly, which is where I'm at right now. Still inside that gate, Kathy.
Yeah, well, we're always inside some type of a gate, which we'll talk about
yes.
a little bit later when we talk about my book from Sable Springs Parables.
Yes. Well, I've been also very blessed by Marlene to be asked to speak at her conferences and be on faculty there, so that's been a wonderful experience for me. That was a dream come true. From the first time I went to her conference way back in the early 2000s, I thought, oh, someday
yeah.
I would love to be teaching in her conference. And actually, it was the show that brought that about. Well, there was another incident before that. But anyway, I want to talk about you, not me.
Okay.
So, Cassie, tell us, we all are shaped, our lives are shaped by a lot of our childhood experiences. So would you share with us what childhood experiences do you think contributed to your love of storytelling?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm very connected to my childhood. I'm a very sentimental, nostalgic personality type. So, like you were talking about, you know, making note of those little things and really cherishing that. I was a child like that. I was a deeper thinker. I was always asking the why questions. And I would sit and think about those things. And it wasn't until many years into my adulthood that I came to understand that's an artist's makeup. I was always wanting to create or recreate something, and it always revolved around what's the story it's going to tell. And I have a very clear memory of the day I sounded out words by myself and reading clicked. I know exactly where I was. I can still see the room. I can still see my mom in the kitchen and the sunlight coming through the kitchen window at that part of day. And the word clicked. It was like a three-syllable word. I don't remember the word. But it just absolutely ignited me. And suddenly it's like now I owned every storybook in the house. And I wanted to know those stories, and I would get into those stories, and then I would have to act those stories out. And then that would inspire me to write my own stories. So from the time language was in my hands and I could manage language with writing skills as far as even, you know, forming the letters and then reading the words, I had to have paper and pencil, and there was either pictures being drawn or stories being written. And my mother likes to tell everybody, my first story, she loved it. She said she saved it. I never have found it. Stan Pan the Man. And that even at a very young age, I had a thing for alliteration in Stan Pan the Man. That's actually consonants. But the idea that I loved working with words, loved the sound of those words, saying those words. Those were things that were in me from a very young age. And I know that's there from God. It's not something that somebody taught me as much as in principle approach education, we understand the Christian idea of the child. And that is that God has created each and every one of us with a destiny. And he has, imagine a vase that is just filled with all of it has put inside of you to fulfill that destiny. And so the teacher and the parent in a child's life, their job is to draw out all of those things, to nurture those things so that that child can grow into the fullness of who God's created them to be. It's already in them. The humanistic view of the child is that you're an empty vessel and that it's up to society to fill you with stuff. And that's a very pagan view because it totally removes the uniqueness of your makeup and that there's a call on every person's life. And so my thing, even as a teacher, has always been looking at each child in my classroom. That's a soul. And God has a call in that person's life, and my job is to recognize what's going on with that kid. What is it that their passion is, and how is it that I, as a teacher, and in my own children's lives, as a parent, can recognize, you know, who they are, who God's created them to be, and what their call is, and to have that uppermost in your mind. And the sad thing is when young people do not embrace who they are in the Lord and who he's called them to be, and do not walk in the giftings that are evident. And I've seen many young people who choose not to do that, and they struggle. They struggle their life away. And I guess I've always fought not to relinquish what I know God put in me, and that's that passion, and that's what's driven me all my life from childhood.
And sadly, Kathy, there are way too many children out there who never are exposed to the experience that you're talking about. They just don't, if that's not opened up in them, they don't know that it's there.
They don't know that it's there, and there's a blankness there. My mother encouraged it because she loved stories. She grew up on a chicken farm in the middle of nowhere, so there were books. her sister, my Aunt Anne, read voraciously, and her favorite book was The Dictionary. And she would just sit and read the dictionary for pleasure. And to this day, she is a voracious reader and a wordsmith, puts words together very well. My mother enjoyed story, and there was one book in the house. growing up that she absolutely loved. It's called 101 Famous Poems, and its first edition was published in the late 1900s. And the copy that my mother grew up with was a 1925 edition that was given to my grandmother as a courting gift from a young man who wanted to marry her. She spurned the young man, kept the poetry book, and married my grandfather. So the poetry book was in the house all the years growing up, and my mother would read it, and she loved, Longfellow, Wordsworth, all the great, you know, Emily Dickinson, Shakespeare, Kipling, the great classic writers, their works were in this book. And when she married and got her own home, she took the book with her. And that was the poetry book that my sister and I grew up with. Now, there were no pictures in it other than these little oval portraits of the author who wrote the particular poem. All there were words. But when my sister and I would sit on either side of my mom and she would read these to us, her expression in reading them painted the pictures in our imaginations, and I loved it. And then I wanted to write poetry. And I still have my poetry journals and my writings, a lot of my writings from when I was a child, like even as far back as grammar school. I kept those things. And it's interesting to, as an adult, look back on some of those pieces and to recognize that the things that I wrote about and that I wondered about, many of them were questioning, asking God about who he was. We're celebrating God in creation. And these are the same kinds of themes that I continue to explore in what I'm writing now as a veteran Christian, I guess, for lack of a better word to say, walking with the Lord some 30-plus years with some training and schooling behind me so that I'm writing from educated perspective now. But it is very interesting to see, to recognize, and I think it helps me writing for children and connecting with children and families to still be as connected to the experiences of my childhood as I am.
Well, Kathy, you have so many rich, wonderful memories, and your way of expressing those memories is fantastic. You've just taken me right back into your childhood with you. I feel like I'm back there growing up next to you. It's absolutely wonderful. Kathy, you developed a following in your area as the Pageant Wagon Storyteller. What does that mean? Tell us about Pageant Wagons.
Well, actually, Pageant Wagon is a historical allusion. I was teaching in New England at Eastgate Christian Academy. It's in Fall River, Massachusetts. And it's a principal approach school, and I had to, you become the master teacher of everything that you are teaching as a principal approach teacher, so it's a lot of research. It is not for the faint of heart at all. And you create the curriculum, and so I was teaching drama, and I wrote the drama curriculum for the middle school and the high school. And so we always begin with the historical timeline. So I was teaching the history of drama, and from a biblical worldview, you know, God, the way God has used drama in and how it has developed. So I got to the Middle Ages, and I got the pageant wagons of the Middle Ages. And at that time, the fall of Rome and the end of civilization as we know it, with the throwing us into the Dark Ages, and literacy was wiped away. I mean, libraries, culture was completely decimated. And the only bastion of literacy and education that remained was the church. And it was the church that was able to safeguard the great ancient writings and civilization as it had been. After a number of years, people trying to get back on their feet, I mean, whole towns and villages were completely wiped out. literacy and learning was lost. There was an awful lot that was lost after the fall of Rome. And the church began to move back out into Western Europe in what they called pageant wagons. And they were a series of portable stages with costumes and props and actors and clergy, and they would go throughout Western Europe and stop in the villages and set up these tremendous outdoor theatrical sets. And they would act out the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And that's how the Word of God was spread in Western Europe during the Middle Ages to an illiterate society that could not read. And
wow.
People were captivated by story, the story of God in history, his story of how God connected with man throughout all of history, and call it history, his story. And so this began to ignite a desire for learning, for literature, and it laid the foundation for the Renaissance, which was a rebirth of learning, and that laid the foundation for the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. And the Protestant Reformation laid the foundation for the pilgrims and the colonists who came to America for the purpose of creating a nation that was a Christian nation that would be founded on Christian principles, that would create a government as never seen before in the world, created for the glory of God and the propagation of the gospel. All of this is documented in primary source documents, and don't believe anybody who tells you that we're not a Christian nation. And that's why it's important that we are able to read our own history from the primary sources and understand it within the biblical worldview, because God created it, and everything that he created was for his pleasure and for his enjoyment. And so we need to be able to see all things in history and in creation through his eyes. And that's the power of a principal approach education, which largely works through the power of story. So literature is very, very powerful. The arts, very strong in being able to captivate the imagination of the individual, from children who are very, very small to children who are our age. Because
yes,
we need to retain that child in us. The Bible says, unless you become as little children, the qualities of a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. If you're too sophisticated to get something deep and penetrating out of a well-drafted picture book that is espousing biblical principles,
and with a certain innocence and faith.
Exactly. All of that. If you are too sophisticated to grab hold of a deep truth of God from a picture book that's quote-unquote for children, you're probably too sophisticated for God.
Exactly.
I mean, what did Jesus do? How did he primarily teach the people? It wasn't through great rhetoric. It was through the power of story, parable.
Yes.
And that's where, that was a word that I've used through the years in various programs that I've done. So the pageant wagon, because I did that whole teaching on pageant wagons, that affected me. I wanted to be that pageant wagon. Wherever I was, whatever I was doing, whoever I was ministering to or speaking to, whether it was in the women's ministry, whether it was in the children's ministry, whether it was in youth ministry, whether it was in our family home groups, whatever I was bringing to the table, I wanted to be like that pageant wagon that was coming into town, bringing God's word and God's truth through the power of story, and being an agent to ignite and inspire minds and hearts to want to know God more, to go after God, and to desire education, literacy, learning, because we can only educate people into the presence of the Holy Spirit and get out of the way, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit needs to be our teacher. He's our teacher.
And I love the way Kathy...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I love the way that God can take a small kernel of an idea, like you, with researching the pageant wagons, and you have built a whole ministry around that idea. Had another guest who built a lot of her writing career around her blind dog. So to me, it's just amazing what God instills in us. We are going to go to a short commercial break at this point, Kathy.
Okay, sure.
I would like to let listeners know who may have just come into the show at this time that you are listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen. My guest today is the most delightful Catherine Ross, also known as Miss Kathy, and we will return in about 4 minutes. Are you fighting what seems to be a never-ending battle to take off excess pounds? Have you tried diet after diet, resolved to banish the sweets and starches from your life forever, and fervently prayed for willpower? Author Janet K. Brown let God do the fighting for her, and she won with a 95-pound weight loss that she has maintained for close to 20 years. Now, Janet shares the lessons she learned with her devotional entitled Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness. Allow yourself to be guided through your weight journey with these practical and inspirational daily readings grounded in Scripture, illustrated with many of Janet's own experiences, and reinforced with a short prayer. This toolbox for overeaters combines a 12-step approach with a focus on the need for Christ as the center of your struggle. Janet's passion for diet, fitness, and God's Word holds the hope for you to achieve success as you strive to make choices that will lead to lasting lifestyle changes. Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness by Janet K. Brown is available at 10L Publishing, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. Planning a trip to Colorado this year? 80 miles southeast of Pueblo on Highway 50, you'll find the town of Los Animas, where rich early 1900s American history is preserved within the walls of the John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum. Since the opening of the new museum in May of 2012, the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County is proud of the accomplishments of its all-volunteer team. Exhibits depict life on the plains in the early 1900s through the replication of home and business structures and possessions of such historical figures as John W. and Dorothy Hoag Rawlings, Kit Carson, Ambassador Thompson, and Ken Curtis, who played Festus Hagen on the long-running western Gunsmoke. Artifacts depict the life of the Native American, rancher, and farmer, and showcase tools of such professions as the cobbler, railroad worker, medical professional, and military. The Grand Hall on the second floor includes several quilt exhibits and an independent order of Oddfellows exhibit. The Old Trail Gallery features unique gifts made by local artists and historical publications of the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County, such as the Bent County Chronicle. The John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum holds a treasure trove of information for any history buff or historical author interested in events that unfolded in southeastern Colorado in the early 1900s. Located at 560 Bent Avenue in Los Animas, the museum is open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4 p.m. Cost of admission is $5 for adults, $4 for children, 6 to 12, with free parking available on site. For further information, contact them at 719-456-6066. If you drop by, be sure to tell them Patty Sheen of Step Into the Light sent you. Would you like an ad for your business, new book, or other product broadcast on Step Into the Light? Contact Patty Sheen at patty.sheen@gmail.com. That's patty.sheen@gmail.com. Now it's time to return to our show. Welcome back to Step Into the Light, right here on Blog Talk Radio with Patty Sheen. Our guest today is Catherine Ross, also known as Miss Kathy. She is mm-hmm. a master storyteller, and we are just having a blast on the show. If you've missed any of it up till now, I want to refer you back to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com, and you will find a link to the show there. You'll also find it on the archive page under Blog Talk Radio if it's after this week. I also want to make listeners aware of where they can find Kathy online. Kathy's website is Pageant, and that's spelled P-A-G-E-A-N-T, wagonpublishing.com. She also has a blog, The Writer's Reverie, W-R-I-T-E-R-S-R-E-V-E-R-I-E.com. Her Facebook page is Pageant Wagon Publishing, and on Twitter, she is at Miss Kathy PWP. And Kathy, I know you said you have more than that, actually.
Yeah, I do. There's a learning curve when you step out to do anything new, and my learning curve nemesis has been social media. So been working it through, but yeah, Facebook. I'm kind of all over the place on Facebook because I have a Facebook page for each of the different story programs that I'm working in. So.
Okay.
We have our Pageant Wagon Publishing, but I also have my Writer's Reverie, The Writer's Reverie Facebook page. You can follow me there, and that's where I put a lot of devotional, inspirational kinds of posts and always will let you know when I have a new blog up. At Pageant Wagon, I'm dealing more with books and literacy-related things, things relating to writers, and, of course, the different projects that we're working on at Pageant Wagon Publishing. And then our newest book series out, I've created a page for that, is the Clementine Jones Drama and Daring Do books, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, it sounds
and
like
that
a
has
fun
a page
series.
All its own. Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful. but do you want to hear about Clementine Jones?
Well, first I want to tell our listeners that they probably won't remember a thing we just mentioned as far as all of the links. Therefore,
yes.
I would like to refer them to back to my website again, which is pattysheene.com. And on that website, underneath the Blog Talk Radio tab, I do have a page called Website and Social Media Information. And I will have all of the links that Kathy has just mentioned there on that page. And therefore, you don't have to remember anything except how to get to my page. And that way, when you go back 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 months, whatever, from now, and think, oh, man, I would love to read more about that delightful lady that was on Patty's show the first week in January. What was her name? Well, on that page, it gives you the date, the name of the guest, and then all of the links to social media websites and so such. So I just wanted to interject that. So, yes, now you may go ahead. Kathy,
okay,
and tell
now
us
you want to hear about
project.
Clementine.
Definitely.
It's funny when you're talking about dark times, and I've had quite my fair share of them. I
yes,
was
that
a bit
was
of
the next
a
thing I was going to bring up was dark
yeah,
times.
Yeah, I was a bit,
that's
bit
part
of
an
the... artsy about part of the show. I was a bit of an artsy geek when I was a kid. I was a theater geek. I was an art geek,
sure.
And because my strongest background is the theater background, and so I was a little on the different side, and so there was a certain amount of bullying and you know, just kind of I was always a bit of an innocent. I wasn't very cool at all. Didn't really get the jokes or what the other kids were talking about because I was in
exactly.
my story world somewhere, you know.
It's not very fun
when you're a kid, but I look back now. And it really helped me to be much more empathetic and open to kids like me when I was teaching. I could recognize them right away, and I knew they needed that adult mentor coming alongside of them and whispering in their ear and telling them, "You're gifted, and you need to hold on to that, and don't worry about this other stuff. All of that's going to pass." So, you know, those dark times that you go through, they're always for the purpose of having you move to the place of being an overcomer and then becoming a minister in the lives of others to help them be an overcomer. Because we live in a fallen world.
Yes,
so
we do.
We're all going to have dark times. But the point is to not wallow in those dark times, but to look up, take hold of God's hand, his purposes. Remember, he's created you with a purpose and a destiny. He has gifted you uniquely. And as adults raising up the next generation, we need to be imparting this truth to our young people. And we don't want our kids, right now it's all about kids growing up entitled, doing too much for our kids. Let them struggle a little bit. But be there and encourage them and constantly be coming alongside and letting them know that this struggle is to strengthen them so that they can be a strong arm in somebody else's life down the road. So those dark times in my childhood were mostly of the emotional, growing up, coming of age kind of stuff. But that's informed me as an adult. I went into my first marriage with starry eyes. And I had a 20-year marriage and was shocked and appalled when in ministry with my husband and having tremendous vision for both of my children to be moving into ministry and serving the Lord, I lost my marriage. And
And that sadly happens often.
Suddenly he chose a different path and and walked away, and we were in shock after 20 years. And what do you do in that dark place? Well, you know what? You hold on to God.
Yes.
You hold on with everything you've got in you, and you've got all these voices saying all the hopes and dreams are crushed now. You have nothing. There's nothing left. There's no purpose. There's no reason. All of that stuff you believe, it's all a lie. And you know what? It's not a lie. And I held on. And I was at that time, our home group, which we were the home group leaders. Our home group, we're all homeschoolers. And I was teaching in a school, and my kids were in the school. And you know what? We had to take some time off. And so I pulled everything home. And we even home churched for a couple of years with our home group. We were a very strong group. We topped out at 60 people.
Wow.
So we were almost a church unto ourselves.
Sure. Oh, my goodness,
When you got everybody together, lots of kids. And it was a healing time in that environment. God was present in that dark place. But the whole time I was questioning, I'm saying, Lord, all I've ever prayed for and desired was to be in a ministry partnership with my husband. But now I had no husband. Mm-hmm. And my whole purpose was in seeing to it that my children were not going to end up being a Newsweek statistic of what happens to kids from broken homes.
Right.
I did not want their call and their destiny in the Lord to be shortchanged because of a decision that wasn't theirs. And so my focus was on keeping them undergirded and strong in the Lord and help them to be strong through this dark time, because it was a dark time for them as well. And so I remember the day where the Lord said, take the wedding band off and begin praying for your husband. And he didn't mean my ex-husband. He met the man that he was preparing for me. And I prayed for 4 years, and then was homeschooling, graduated my son, left him in New England, and he went off to college and moved back to my hometown. My mother was in a dark place. She was dying of ovarian cancer. And
oh, my goodness. You really had a lot on your plate at that time, Kathy.
It was a lot on my plate at that time. I moved by myself with my daughter, who was in high school, and we moved back into town. Everything was familiar. It was like you just, because I had lived all over the country for 20 years, 22 years. And now I'm back home where it all started. And and I knew that year was going to be all about my mom. and we were in town a week, that I didn't have to go back to the old bookstore that I used to spend all my babysitting money in to get a book that my daughter needed for school. And I walked in looking for the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And
yes.
I'm looking in the Narnia department, and I hear a voice behind me say, "Can I help you, kind lady?" And I turned around, and there's the guy who used to sell me books when I was 17 years old. And I thought, did you just not go on with the rest of your life that you're still in this bookstore? But no, it turns out he loves books. He is a career bookseller. And he didn't remember me. He was like 4 years older than me and already married when I knew him then. But as we began talking, we realized we were in each other's prayer closet because he had the same story to tell on the other side.
How neat.
And we started talking about things that's like, how did you know that? Because, you know, it's God was revealing, this is the one that you've been praying for all these years. And it was the same
wow.
with him, because he had been praying for the wife that God was going to bring along his side. And so he started telling me about a character that he would minister in churches doing biblical storytelling. It was a Wild West character he called Clementine Jones. And I thought to myself, isn't Clementine a girl's name? He didn't care. He was remembering that, oh, my darling Clementine
exactly.
poem. Yeah, and he named it Clementine Jones, the miner, 49er. It was a gold miner who was digging for gold in God's word. And I thought, isn't that funny? Because when I was a children's pastor, I created a character named Wanda Wordwise. And she was down south, and she had this fabulous accent. And, well, let me tell you, within 4 months, Kathy and Ed got married, and so did Clementine and Wanda. And we started taking the stories that he had created, and we refashioned them to include Wanda into it. So now it was a duet. We were like Roy Rogers and Dale Evans.
Oh,
and as a matter of fact, we end the show with our own words to Happy Trails. And so we started ministering the Clementine Jones shows. He would call them story concerts throughout the area. And he had been doing Clementine since 1986.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And I think it was around 1991 when I had created Wanda. And so now Clementine and Wanda were together. But we always wanted to figure out how we could put them in a book, because I've always wanted to publish. I've always been making books, but I've been writing and performing because I'm my strength is playwriting. So I have years of plays and writing, producing, directing, drama ministries. I had my own production company, the Paget Wagon Players. We did old-fashioned American melodrama every summer. I mean, I've got scads of that stuff. But the idea of having my name on a book spine has
yes.
always been the dream, you know? So so it wasn't until this summer, that last summer, the 2015, getting ready to go to the Greater Philadelphia Christian Writers Conference, that 4 days before, I started thinking about, you know, I'd really like to bring the Clementine Jones stories, but I don't know what to do with them. They were performance stories. There were things that Ed and I did, and a lot of it was improv. What are they? Are they chapter books? How do I put a performance piece like this into a print book?
Yes.
And how do you promote it? And I just sat there just talking to the Lord about it, and I said, Lord, this is drama. It's drama and and then as clear as can be, I hear in my spirit, Daring Do. And I said, ooh, I like that. It's got alliteration. You know, I like alliteration.
Yes.
So I looked up the word, Daring Do. It means courageous acts to the purpose.
Ooh.
And I thought, yes, this is not a chapter book. These Clementine Jones, this is curriculum. This is Bible study curriculum, written to be interactive. And so what I did was I took the first story and I redrafted it as a performance piece, but only it's reader's theater. And I expanded the world of Clementine outside of just the two of us and a couple of the puppets that we use. And so now we go out west to the Wild West to Shalom City. And in Shalom City is where Clementine and Wanda live, like right down the foothills of the mountains where the gold mine is. And that's where we go digging for gold in God's word. And oh, we dig out some big nuggets of God's truth to apply to our lives, living God's way. And when we do that, they turn into these pearls of wisdom. Now, old Wanda, she likes to wear those pearls of wisdom around her neck. It makes her beautiful for Jesus. So as
we do all that,
it comes out in a reader's theater format so that anybody can sit down and read the story and everybody has a part. Even the youngest one who doesn't have strong reading skills, I've written lines in there and parts in there that everybody in the family can participate. And so once the story is presented, which becomes a metaphor of the biblical principle, taking Bible stories and transplanting them in a Wild West iconic kind of setting, that's when we move into the Bible study. And we use our pickaxe and shovel and teach you how to do a Bible study. And what I do as a principal approach teacher is I teach you how to do a word study, in-depth word studies using Noah Webster's 1828 Dictionary and Bible Concordance, and how to draw out the biblical principles, restate them, and see how you can relate God's word to your life and apply God's word. So then we're going to do the daring do. And the daring do comes in what we do with our gold. We're going to spend our gold. We're going to save our gold, we're going to spend our gold, and we're going to give our gold away. We save our gold with memory verses, and I have some templates for mnemonic Bible verse memorization, which is really employing the arts in that. And then, so we're going to save God's word in our heart, just like we're going to save the gold in the Shalom City Savings and Loan Bank in town, you know. And then we're going to go to the general store to spend our gold. Now, there's lots of choices in that general store. So what you got to do is you got to have Miss Prudence, who's the proprietor there. She's going to help you make wise choices spending your gold, applying it to your life out in the world. And that all happens in the general store. And that is a board game where you can actually download it, print it out, game pieces, cards, everything. And that gets you through all the Bible comprehension and story comprehension. And then we're going to give our gold away. That means we go sit with Aunt Hannah, and she's the prayer warrior. So it's a little prayer journal. And she teaches you how to pray the scripture and record it as a prayer. And so that's also a prayerful template.
Kathy, there's a lot of background noise.
Yeah, I hear that.
She's not up there yet.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I wonder.
I don't know what that is. It's not on my end.
No, it's not on mine either. I didn't think, but... Okay, well, it could be something with this one. It's beyond our control. Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. That's okay. So that's a Clementine Jones drama and daring do books, and we have got a number of stories because we've been doing this for 12 years, and so we've got lots of stories. We even have a VBS that will be coming out here probably in another year. So I'm very excited. So we launched our first one. It's on our website, pageantwagonpublishing.com. Go to books, go to Clementine Jones, Drama and Daring Do. Go to the first book out is Clementine Jones and the Skunk Stink.
Oh, how
what neat. Happens? What happens when old Buford takes off and takes the wrong path? He was supposed to stay on the right path, but he went off on that left path, and he got into it with one of them polecat skunks. And boy, did he get stink on him! And now he's not allowed in the cabin. to have fellowship in the cabin with Clementine and Wanda. And Clementine's going to have to do something. He's going to have to sacrifice something very special to be able to cleanse that old Buford from that skunk stink. So you can already see metaphorically where we're going with that. And so we've got scriptures backing that up. And really that one's dealing with the whole idea of salvation and getting that skunk, the skunk stink of sin out of your life so that you can have a restored fellowship with God. And then there's a number of other stories that will be coming out here in 2016 that I hope to have out by summer. So we should have three of them. They're all digital books. They're PDFs. They are useful for homeschooling, children's church, Sunday schools. You just can purchase right off the website and download and print them out and use it from there. So we're very excited about that series.
Wonderful. Oh, it sounds like a really exciting series, Kathy. And what I wanted to bring up, too, you mentioned that your husband had his ideas in mind and you had yours in mind. Oh, goodness, you're looking 20, 30 years ago. And isn't it amazing how God's timing just works out?
He sees everything from beginning
to end.
Yes, he
does. We get so impatient. I want it now.
I know.
And if we would just wait, he's got such wonderful things around the corner for us.
If we hold on, the idea of patience is the theme in one of the picture book series that we have. Our picture book series at Pageant Wagon Publishing is the Fable Springs Parables. And that's set in an idyllic English country village where parables live. And that is where I can pretend that I actually live in one of those places in a thatched roof cottage in the middle of the English countryside, just a stone's throw away from the tea room where I'd like to go. So I created one. Where I can go with my stories. And I'm working with a wonderful illustrator, young gal. She is just 20 years old, but she's got such an instinct for illustration and a tremendous gift. Beautiful watercolor renderings in the style of like a Beatrix Potter type, kind of evocative of a Tasha Tudor or a Garth Williams in very, very popular classic illustrations. And so in Fable Springs, our first book we just released earlier this year, earlier in 2000, I'm sorry, I'm feeling like we're still 2015, but it's not.
I know.
So last year, around February, March, we launched the first book in the series called Mother Chicken's Eggs, Choosing to Grow into Greater Things, about an egg that refuses to hatch. And then the second book we're in the process of working on now, that'll be out by Easter of this year, so we're gearing up for that. That's
Easter
called
comes
Bug
early
Loop.
This year, too.
Pardon me?
And Easter comes really early this year, too.
It does. That's why I'm a little worried that, oh, are we going to make it? You know, I was thinking more the end of March as opposed to the middle. But that one is called Bugaboo Bees Bop, Patience for the Prize, and that's about finding contentment in whatever season that you're in. And so they're delightful books as far as the pictures, but I write, again, metaphorically. I write on different layers. In the same way that Jesus told his parables metaphorically, and he told them in different layers. So a small child's going to get something out of it, but guess what? That adult's going to get a lot of meat and potatoes out of it too.
Yes.
And I find that when I've done the book in a high school classroom, actually, in an advanced placement English class, I was doing a program about the book, and had one of the little girls crying, because story will get in the back door of your heart.
Yes, it will.
And then it will grab you in places that maybe you didn't have fortified on the back door. And she saw herself in the story of this egg that wouldn't hatch. And there's a lot of things that keep us inside of our eggs, and that was one. That was what I had to do. I had to break out of my egg of fearfulness to actually step into what it is God's always had planned and prepared for me. You knew it in your heart. They're your hopes and your dreams. God's put that there.
Yes, he has.
And people have nurtured that through the years, but boy, it's rough. It's rough breaking through that egg. So I'm writing. Everything I write, God makes me live it. So when I came across this wonderful quote by Francis de Sales, a Christian thinker and writer like 400 years ago, and he talks about how the bees, look at the bees, and how they, amid the banks of time, and I loved that phrase, amid the banks of time. Look at the
bees.
Oh,
that is a
neat
phrase.
Of time. Isn't that pretty?
Yes, it is.
They find there a very bitter juice that they suck out. But then they turn it into something sweet.
Something sweet and beautiful.
Because they have the ability to do so.
Yes.
And what is it that we have to do in our lives to have that ability to take those bitter seasons and turn it into sweet honey that's also nutritious for others? And so, of course, the beehive becomes my place of research this year, and boy, have I enjoyed that. I've always
had an
affinity
for the bees. Oh, I bet you've learned a lot.
The understanding of God's principles of life and living just in the beehive that he reveals to us is fascinating stuff. So in the same way that I took the metaphor of an egg and the act of breaking out of an egg and how that relates to our lives metaphorically and spiritually and biblically, I'm doing the same thing now with the bees and the making of honey and to the story about it, a little bee who does not want to put her time in the hive, doing all the different jobs that a bee in a hive is supposed to do. She wants to get right to that spotlight where she saw those forager bees coming back out in from outside doing the little bee dance, which bees do to actually is how they communicate the direction of where to go to find the pollen.
Kind of like teenagers, wouldn't you say?
They want to get right to all that cool grown-up stuff.
Right.
But they haven't learned what you need to know to actually do it right.
Exactly.
And so she, there's all sorts of kerfuffle that happens, and she's gonna learn a very, very valuable lesson. Now, this particular book I'm writing in rhyme, which has been very challenging, actually, a lot of fun. What I do with this picture book series is I have companion audio books where I write the stories to be performed vocally. So, because I'm a performance storyteller. So I recorded them as audiobooks as well. And I do that in collaboration with a very talented musician. Her name is Haley Richardson, and she is a 6-time All-Ireland fiddle champion.
Oh, my.
And she just actually won the Fiddler of Dooney competition in Ireland. She's a fabulous traditional Irish music. And so I'm her writing mentor. Yes.
I hate to have to cut you off, but as sad as it is, we are out of time. We are down to 1 minute and 30 seconds left in the show.
Oh,
I know we could talk for another 2 hours, and I'm sure our
you know what?
Would
you
enjoy it as well.
All this
I'll have to have you back.
And
that's
more.
All there is to that.
Yeah, just go to the website and look it up. I'm sorry, I'm so chatty. They call me Chatty.
Oh,
Kathy.
You were wonderful. You were wonderful. So I want to thank you so much for a totally delightful show. And maybe we can have you back sometime, Kathy.
I'd love to come back later in the year, absolutely.
But thank you so very much for your time this morning and for sharing so much with us. It's been an absolute delight to spend time with you. God bless you, and have a wonderful 2016.
Thank you. You too, Patty. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, that was a wonderful interview. I so enjoyed talking with Kathy this morning, and I hope our listeners enjoyed listening as well. You can find any information about Kathy, as I said earlier, on my website, which is pattysheen.com, pattysheen.com. Just access the Blog Talk Radio tab there, and you'll find various pages with the information that you need specifically the website and social media page will take you to her links as soon as I get them up there, which may take me a few hours or maybe even into tomorrow. In closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Have some great guests lined up for this next year, so I hope that you will join us next Tuesday at 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. Look forward to having you listen. And if you have any comments about the show, I'd love to send them to me at pattysheene, P-A-T-T-I-S-H-E-N-E, at gmail.com. Goodbye for now, and God bless.